Psalms chapter number 3. And let's read the entire psalm and then take a look at it. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Does that sound like some of your days? Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Seal. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd help this preacher tonight to preach this message clearly. And may your people understand. May they be challenged. May they be blessed. And may you be glorified. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I think it's kind of clear when we read the words of this psalm that David wrote it at a low time in his life. Have you ever had such a time in your life when all you could do is try to express it best you could? But David really is having a tough time here. Now, a question to ask could be, David, where are your friends? I've had some tough times in my life. First thing I've done is pray, then I've looked around for my friends. What can these guys do to encourage me? But in this case, David, where are your friends? And to make it even worse than that, it wasn't just his absence of friends. His own son, flesh and blood, that he loved with all of his soul. And that son was trying to kill him and to steal his kingdom away from him. It was a well-planned plot on the part of Absalom. And then down in 2 Samuel chapter 15, we read these words, and Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gileadite, David's counselor. Now, Absalom, his son, was the chief agent of this betrayal and treachery and plot to steal the kingdom away from David and to himself. And he had really scoured the land and lied and deceived in order to get the people on his side against David. And one of these was Ahithophel that names here, David's counselor. Now this man was a personal friend, a buddy, one that David would go to for good, private, trusted counsel. And apparently he and Ahithophel had gotten their heads together at some point, because now he sends for him to come, because obviously the time is right to really put this plot into motion. But the important thing to notice in this psalm is how did David deal with it? Now, anytime you're having a tough time and you've got to do something, how will you deal with it? David, how are you going to deal with this? Humanly speaking, we could expect that David would be despondent and depressed, having really a bad time. But on the contrary, David responded as the spiritual giant that he was and picks up a pen and starts to write Psalm 3. So David, how are you going to deal with this? We can learn from David's experience here about how we should respond to trouble. I would not be surprised if someone in this auditorium tonight is dealing with some kind of trouble in your life, and you're trying to figure out, how will I respond to this thing? This psalm is divided really in three parts, each one ending with the musical note, Selah. First of all, David's trouble. David, you got trouble? I sure have. Then secondly, David's trust. Who does he trust in this time of trouble? And then number three, he gives his testimony. Let's look first at David's trouble again. In that first verse, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Notice the enemies were increasing. Seems like trouble usually comes in numbers. Sometimes we are literally overwhelmed by troubles. Maybe somebody here in that situation even tonight. And then, again to make it worse, his son Absalom seeking to destroy him. He was a handsome, smooth talker who was a skilled liar. 2 Samuel chapter 15 kind of describes it. Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land. Every time he had an opportunity, he'd get a hold of one of the people and the Jews and say, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which has a suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. I'd treat him good. I'd solve his problems. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand, took him and kissed him, and on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And then Ahithophel, the wise and trusted advisor David thought, betrayed him. And he was a counselor. Am I therefore become your enemy? Paul said, that you hate me because I'll tell you the truth. I've known wonderful pastors over the years that have had churches turn against him, people turn against him. But Paul says, rather, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You know, people will get angry with you if you tell them the truth. Most of us don't want to hear the truth. We want to hear what we want to hear. And sometimes folks get angry with us when we try to help them by telling them the truth. You may know the pain of being attacked. Godliness will always be attacked by someone. Many of them will say to my soul, there's no help for him in God. Can you imagine that? Telling David, you're in such a fix that God can't even help you. And that's really an insult to God rather than to David. So they declare that his enemies declare that his plight was hopeless. They say that God had abandoned David. David, you're in this world all by yourself. Now compare and turn over to chapter 11 for just a moment and begin with verse 1. Compare this. In the Lord put I my trust. How say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? That is, you can't put any trust in God. You're too far gone from that, so just flee as a bird. Fly away to a mountain somewhere and hide. For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they really shoot you with an arrow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot it upright in heart. And then they add, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So what they're essentially saying is, the foundations are destroyed, and so there's nothing that you can do. The pagan king Sennacherib sent a threatening letter to King Hezekiah. He said, we're going to wipe you off the face of the earth, Hezekiah. But Hezekiah took that letter and brought it to the temple and stretched it out before the Lord. And in the letter, Hezekiah received the letter at the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it unto the Lord and said, God, you see this? You see what that guy's writing? And God literally destroyed thousands of people because of their threat to King Hezekiah. And then secondly, not just David's trouble, but look at his trust. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lift up of my head. And look, notice what David says. God, you are my shield. Then secondly, you are my glory. And third, you're the lifter up of my head. You're my encourager. Note the way he personalizes his trust. He said, God is my shield. And that shield was all around him. Imagine, if you would please, in all of your trouble, that God has a shield impenetrable by the enemy that completely surrounds you. That's kind of like what Job had around him. And the only way that the devil could get through that shield was for God to let him do it, and then only to touch Job in a limited way. God had a shield around him. Do you realize that tonight that we have a shield around us? Now, it's not one of these shields you hold in your hand. It's angels. You folks believe in angels? You might as well believe in them because they're real. And I want to tell you something else. They're in this room tonight. If we could only see tonight with our imagination or whatever, but if we can only see what is here. There was an occasion when David was surrounded by enemies, and he and his associate, Gehazi, got up one morning, and Gehazi looked around, and he saw a host of soldiers, thousands, surrounding that little place where they were staying. And it scared the life out of him. Probably would me too. And he ran back to the house. He got up before Elisha did and said, Master, Master, look at this crowd here. And they're going to kill us. And the difference between Elisha and Gehazi was that Elisha could see without seeing. He could see by faith. And Gehazi can only see what he could see with his eyes. And Elisha says, Lord, he probably rubbed some sleep out of his eyes and then said, Lord, would you open his eyes so he can see that the more with us than you are with them? Now, would you like to think that about yourself? That the more of God's angels are around you than there are demons or anything else, God's protective care, and David trusted in his shield. Are you trusting tonight in your shield? And this verse, Psalm 91, verse 11, he should give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. We have a shield. Book of Ephesians, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Nothing can touch the child of God unless God permits it. So David says, you guys are all saying that I don't have any hope, but I want you to know I have a shield. Secondly, and I don't have a shield, but thou, O Lord, are my glory. David had lost the glory of being king. That's gone, but that's not significant. Some probably were gloating over him and saying, look at him now, Mr. Big Shot. He's not what he used to be. He's just a used-to-be king. He just mocked. But in spite of what his enemy said, David knew that he still had the most important glory. He had lost the glory of being king. He had lost the glory of having a host of friends. But he hadn't lost the glory of God. And neither have we, my friend. We may lose position, but not that. Isaiah wrote, the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for the brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. David was his glory. But after that, the third thing, he was the lifter up of his head. That means he wasn't encouraged. He was encouraged. Just lift his head. The lifter up of my head. He received no human encouragement, but he got plenty from God. David was distressed, Samuel said, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, it's quite possible, not more probable, that in this building there are those that have come to the place in your life that you had to turn to him for encouragement. And when you turn to him, you get it. If he'd focused on circumstances, he would have been discouraged. But if he focuses on God, it's a different situation. They looked at him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. David had an encourager, and it was his God. And then David trusted in prayer. God already knows our needs and plight, but he wants us with our troubled heart to look to him. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. We cry to him, and he hears. And notice, instead of reacting against them, which would have been a possible, if not probable, reaction of a lot of people. But David doesn't react against all those people who've turned against him. He just turned to God, because he was confident that God would hear him. And the first place to go in trouble, my friend, is to our knees in fervent prayer. Let me give you a little piece written by someone. I have no idea who wrote this, but I liked it, and so I copied it. As a painted fire is no fire, a dead man, no man. As cold prayer is no prayer, in a painted fire there is no heat. In a dead man there is no life. So in a cold prayer there is no omnipotence and no devotion, no blessings. Cold prayers are as arrows without heads, as swords without edges, as birds without wings. Cold prayers always freeze before they reach heaven. As a body without a soul, much wood without fire, a bullet and a gun without powder, so are words in prayer without fervency or spirit. We need to pray some hot prayers when we're in these times of need. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. And by the way, if you really want an answer to prayer, you know who I believe would be the very best one to start with to get to pray for you? A child. Some years ago, I was preaching a revival meeting, and it was as dead as 3 o'clock in the morning. Nothing was happening. I mean, the crowd looked like they're going to go to sleep, and nobody stirring, expressing any reaction at all to the preaching of the word. And so the next day I was talking to my youngest grandson. I'm not sure how old he was at the time. He's already graduated from his master's program. He got a good job now, but it was just a child, maybe 8, 10. And I said to him one day, that next day, I said, Brennan, I want you to pray with me about something. He said, what is it, Pop? And I told him. He said, okay, I'll do it. Would you like to guess whether or not the service was different the next night? It was tremendously different. Several souls got saved the next night. So you got something you want prayed for? Get a hold of a child who knows how to pray. Because you see, they believe that God answers prayer. They're surprised when he doesn't. Some of us are surprised when he does. So get a child to pray for you and start trusting in prayer. And then David's testimony. First, he testified of his peace. Look in verse 5. I laid me down and slept. David, you did what? I lay down and slept. But David, I just read about all this stuff. Your enemies are increasing. They're surrounding you. They're going to kill you, David. You're probably not going to live through this day. And you're going to say, you went to bed. You just took a nap. For the Lord sustained me. You know, I spend time up in Alaska, and I've got some great friends up there. And these guys go out moose hunting and other kind of hunting on the shore of the rivers there, which is the worst place in the world to camp out, because that's where the bears go to get their water. But I have a number of friends. They go out there hunting, and they set up their tent right out there on that sandy beachhead, and go sound asleep. However, there's one caveat. They have one of those big pistols in their hand. You sleep that way. A lot of bears get killed that way. But trust in prayer and peace in prayer. And what about Daniel slept in a lion's den? I don't think I could sleep in a lion's den. And Peter slept between two soldiers while he's going to get executed the next day. Evangelist B.R. Lakin heard him say one time, a long time ago, he was having a little bit of a tough time, and he turned to the Lord in prayer and said, Lord, if you're going to stay up, I think I'll just go to bed. Not a bad plan, you think? We can have peace. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Thomas Watson, great old preacher in years gone by, wrote, a good conscience can sleep with the mouth of a cannon. Maybe so. I have claustrophobia. I wouldn't want to sleep with the mouth of a cannon. David said that the Lord sustained him that was beyond himself. And then David testified of his fearlessness. Look at verse 6. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves round me round about. Thousands of people. You know, I am not at all sure I could in honesty say that. I'd like to be able to say it, but He was not afraid, could not, wouldn't be afraid of thousands of people. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Wow. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And then David adds in verse 7 and 8, he testified of his deliverance. Arise, O Lord, save me. O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Their teeth are broken. Years ago, my wife and I were going to a missions conference in the state of Maryland. And the pastor was a friend, as he and his wife, for some time. And we parked the car in the driveway. And before we even got to the front door, we heard a dog barking. Now, I like other people's dogs. That is, I like dogs, I just don't want to have to take care of one. But anyway, I was sure that I was not going to like that dog, the way it was making a fuss. So he kept on barking. We got to the front door. My friend came and opened the door. And there's a dog at his feet, ready to lunge at me. At least it looked like he was going to lunge at me and probably eat me for supper. But let me just describe that vicious animal. He was about that high. Now, if it's a chihuahua, miniature, you know it's got to be little. It was really, I'm not kidding you, it's smaller than a cat. But he made enough noise for 10 pit bulls, you know. And he was all up around my ankle. And I just knew no matter what his size was, he was going to take a hunk out of my ankle for sure. And the preacher just sort of grinned. He said, Brother Halsey, don't worry about that dog. He ain't got any teeth. So I didn't worry about that dog. He could growl. He could fuss. I mean, he could make all kinds of noise, but he couldn't hurt me. You know, the Bible tells us that his teeth, our enemy's teeth, are gone. He can growl at you. He can frighten you. Might even scratch you. It's gonna be hard for him to shed any blood. Ain't got any teeth. David knew that. He knew that his God would protect him against all of his enemies, and that an enemy could make all kinds of noise, but it didn't have any teeth. My friend, you may experience trouble, pain, sorrow, but God promises you deliverance through it all. Through it all. You may be undergoing trouble tonight. You may be under attack. How are you responding? You've got the trouble, but you should also trust. And then you'll have a testimony of God's deliverance in your life. Let's bow, please, for prayer. Lord, I cannot know tonight what these dear people are experiencing in their lives. But I pray, dear Lord Jesus, they'd follow David's example. Not react, but trust to God in heaven to deliver them through it all. With heads bowed, eyes closed, while the music plays, if God is speaking to your heart and you feel the need to come and talk to the Lord about your needs, would you come now?